here we are looking back through the files of the Bunyip for Wednesday, November 20, 2024. Oh, seems to be a lot of 20s in there, doesn't it? And my name is Kay, and I'm one of your readers along with Jeanette. Hello, Jeanette.
Hello, Kay.
And we're nice and comfortable here in the Gawler Civic Centre lower ground floor. And I'll kick off with 150 years ago, Gawler Gold Mining Company. This company commenced working 18 months ago and are still continuing operations. They hold about 20 acres due south of and adjoining Malcolm's Barossa Mine. A shaft has been sunk to the depth of 207 feet. Several quartz leaders have been cut, and it is thought by experienced miners that a good gold-bearing reef will soon be found. There are also first-class indications of a copper lode near, and if the Commissioner of Crown Lands will grant the mineral lease of 80 acres, that was applied for nearly 18 months since, so that more capital can be invested to develop the mine, it is believed it will prove to be another Lady Alice mine. Well, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Don't know that they actually had a huge amount of success there on the Barossa Goldfields.
No, they didn't. They reopened the Barossa Goldfields during the Depression,
when they were
encouraging unemployed men to go back and fossick for gold as
an incentive. Them occupied too.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough gig.
Well, my grandfather was obsessed with finding gold. He and his brother, they believed there was gold in Gippsland.
Oh,
and
right.
And his brother spent years living in a bush hut with his wife and daughter in Gippsland. And she grew up, she didn't go to school, but she
looking
could imitate all the bush birds. And,
yeah.
So it became almost like a disease with some people, the obsession with gold.
Oh, it did. The ancestor, one of them that found the gold at Echunga, he described it as a gold fever. He never lost it throughout his whole life.
Yeah.
I think my mum had it too, to a bit, because she grew up amongst all these fossickers and all the mine shafts. Yeah. And she actually had a machine.
Right.
Dad gave her a gold-seeking machine, detector once, but we had great fun playing with it, but couldn't actually make it work that well.
Okay, I'll continue with 100 years ago. A sordid deceiver. Gawler recently had a visitation from a much married man wanted by the police, but who escaped the clutches of the local officers. The deceiver's methods are to integrate himself with women, marry them, in inverted commas, and get away with their money. Information has been received that he has already gone through the marriage ceremony 9 times and has operated in 3 states. A letter has been received from a woman in Newcastle, New South Wales, that her husband, inverted commas, took her to Sydney, and after having obtained from her practically all the money she possessed, about £150, left her penniless and friendless. Charming.
Mm-hmm.
So now the internet makes it so much easier.
Yeah, it does.
That certainly still goes on. People are people.
People are people, and we've got a range of people.
We do, yes.
People will still thieve.
Mm-hmm.
50 years ago, Mayor hits leader on boundaries. The Mayor of Gawler, Mr. C.W. Creedon, has criticised the Leader of the Opposition and Member for Light, Dr. Eastick, on the local government boundaries issue. At Monday night's meeting of Gawler Town Council, Mr. Creedon said he believed Dr. Eastick was not acting in the best interests of Gawler on the controversial proposals. Dr. Eastick is more inclined to accept the view that we should not negotiate to have our boundaries extended, he said. More inclined to accept the view that we should not negotiate to have our boundaries extended. In other words, Creedon thought that they should be extended. That just took a little bit of...
Yeah, the wording
re-reading.
Was...
clumsy wording, but never mind.
And the battle continues 50 years later. Oh. They're still fighting for a boundary.
It's the same, isn't it? Power and influence and...
rates and more money from various councils all want the rate-paying areas.
Yep.
So 25 years ago, reunited, slobbering a big lick across James Watt's face, Susie Q barks approval of her homecoming. The courageous black dog wags her tail, obviously pleased to be reunited with James after undergoing more than a month of rehabilitation since being critically injured in a hit-and-run accident on October the 9th. James of Williston, affectionately known as the guy in the wheelchair with the black dog, is delighted to have his best mate back again, and he's equally delighted with the $3,000 donated towards Susie's vet fees from the Gawler community.
I remember that happening.
Yeah, yeah.
He was, I don't remember his story, but I remember that, you know, the dog being hit by a car.
And people paying for it. Yeah.
And a big lick of James, I wonder what happened to James. He wasn't an old man. He was a relatively young man to be confined to a... And he had a... from what I remember, his wheelchair was fairly large and electric and, top of the...
He used to be quite a common sight, I think, him and his dog.
Yeah, well, a bit like Brian.
Yes.
His name escapes me right now.
He was a Gawler icon, really.
Yeah, Brian, and he wore out so many dogs. He was actually a super smart bloke, but he was very much on that...
The spectrum of
Asperger's, and he just didn't relate with people socially. Yep. Very, very clever man, though. Oh, Brian.
Judy did a portrait of him.
Did she?
Ferguson. She won an award for that.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Her portrait of him.
Yeah, we used to see him a lot. 10 years ago, six of the best. Every cricketer has, at some point, envisaged what it would be like to hit six sixes from a single oval. Lindock's Ben Tanty achieved that dream on Sunday. Playing against Truro in the Barossa and Light A1 Reserves competition, Tanty arrived at the crease with his side in trouble at 5 for 97 and began his innings slowly. Facing up to Truro's Brad Ferry, with 17 runs to his name, Tanty let fly at the first delivery of the over to see it sailing over the Lindock Oval boundary. The second delivery produced the same outcome, another maximum, and it was only at that moment that he decided to chance his arm. The remaining four balls all disappeared for six, much to the delight of his teammates, and in just one over, Tanty had moved from 17 runs to 53 and forever joined an elite club of players to have reached the milestone. To top it all off, Tanty finished the innings with 103 runs to his name. But did they win? But six of the best, I mean, yeah, that's a different meaning than what I'm used to, which is when you get six of the best, it's six of the best cuts or caning.
Yes.
You know, took me back a little bit. But that's an interesting story to round it off with.
It is. And it brings back memories of the old Lindock Oval as it used to be, and it was beautiful. We used to often go out there for picnics when the kids
were
little.
Was that still in the same place as they're building the great big super duper $45 million...
It is.
Yeah. Oval?
Yep.
For what reason, I wonder?
It's going to be AFL playing there. So, hey, do you think...
Well, it's going to be the gather round for one match next year, or two matches, is it?
Mm.
So, and now the AFL's talking about moving the gather round elsewhere, so then we're going to have a $45 million oval sitting out at Lindock. Okay. Mm. Well, I'm sure that we'll make use of it. I could have done with a couple of million of that just for two worlds would be useful.
Some of that going on to libraries would be nice.
That too. So, sorry, you were going to say something else?
No, I was going to say that's probably it for this week.
Oh, that is it for this week, Jeanette. And always good to see you. Always good to read the Bunyip.
It is. And stay cool, everyone.
Yes.
And back next week. For all life's signs.